Now, back to the gardening show with Dean Krauskopf.
Welcome to this edition of the Gardening Show, and I invite you to participate. Give me a call, 1-800-859-0957, or check thegardeningshow.com, and I'll be talking about more of that today. As always, I'd really like to talk to you, and again, that phone number is 1-800-859-0957. But today is special, because today we're celebrating the life of Vera Sullivan, who many of you know through Master Gardener activities, the Women's Garden Association. She has touched so many people in the Southeast Mission and across the state, a tremendously remarkable woman. I invite you to call me, 1-800-859-0957, and share your memories, your experiences, and let's just talk about Vera. It's a celebration. It's sad that we've lost her, but we are so blessed by having her presence in our lives for many years. So 1-800-859-0957. Or if you didn't get the chance, weren't lucky enough to know Vera, any of your gardening questions, of course, love to talk to you. Right now, though, I'm going to switch gears a little bit, and I'd like to bring Jennifer Sweet, who is the program director of Michigan State University's Horticulture Garden Zone, to the line. Jennifer, welcome to the gardening program.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
I appreciate it, because you have put together one of the most high-powered programs that I have seen in many years. Talk about speakers that I would love to hear, because I've heard all four of them, but never all at the same time. And this is the All About Plants program, which is going to be held at MSU on May the 3rd. So talk a little bit about these fantastic speakers that are going to appear.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. So our spring program this year is themed It's All About Plants, and we're going to be joined by four of the top industry experts. One of our presenters is George Papadelis. He's the owner of Tully's Greenhouse. His presentation for us is going to be on new and underused annuals. He's going to be showing us dozens of the new annuals that will be available this spring for attendees. Our next presenter is going to be Tim Wood. He's the Product Development and Marketing Manager at Spring Meadow Nursery. And Tim is known as the International Plant Hunter. He has traveled the world searching for new and useful plants for the American yard and garden, and he's going to be sharing just a wealth of knowledge for all of our attendees. His presentation is titled The Hunt for New and Improved Flowering Shrubs. Then we move on to the afternoon for our program, and we bring in Steve Cato. Steve is the Natural Areas and Preserves Manager at Western Michigan University. Steve is drawing on 26 years of experience, and he's going to be teaching attendees all about growing native plants. He'll help gardeners avoid pitfalls and capitalize on the potential of native plants in the home garden. And then finally, to finish up the day, we bring on Art Cameron, who's our director at the MSU Horticulture Gardens. Art's just a fantastic, engaging presenter. All of our presenters that we're bringing on for the day are just so dynamic. And Art's going to be talking about his enthusiasm for some of his favorite herbaceous perennials and ornamental grasses. He'll discuss some of the best performers, not only in the MSU Horticulture Gardens, but also in his own home garden. And just everyone's going to be sharing all these great, great years of experience that they have, all of their knowledge, so that attendees walk away really inspired to get home and get into their own gardens.
I'll tell you, you'll be inspired and entertained. I've heard all about three of those four, and talk about it's going to be funny. You're going to hear the background stories. It is going to be superb. It's May the 3rd on MSU's campus. However, Jennifer, there's a problem, and that is the sign-up date, or the initial sign-up, closes April the 21st, which is coming up very quickly. So how do people
get it still those? Remains open, so people can still go on our site. You can even come and register the day of the presentation.
But you have this includes lunch, too, right? So there's an issue here that you better get your information in. And let me give you it, and I'll put this on my website, thegardeningshow.com, but here it is if you're writing my wildly. It's hort.msu.edu/SP, what do you call it?
/SP-register.
Yeah, SP-. I had a blank. It's a dash. That's hrt.msu.edu/sp-register. So if you're interested in getting onto that. So the deadline right up to the day, May the 3rd, you can still get in, but there's got to be a limit. How many people can actually attend?
Yeah, we do have a limit for our program, and of course we certainly prefer people to register in advance. Our max capacity for the event is about 200 individuals, so we're still at the point where we can certainly accept more individuals. We do expect that it'll fill up quite a bit in the next week or so here, so we want to encourage people to get online and register early for that. It certainly helps just to maintain the space and make sure that we can get an accurate lunch count for everyone that's on board for the event.
Right, and make sure you have a seat, because this one should fill up. Talk about fantastic speakers. And I will put that reference and more information so you can look at the complete registration information and everything on thegardeningshow.com. So, Jennifer, thank you so much. I sincerely appreciate you being here on The Gardening Show this afternoon.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. We certainly appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure. 1-800-859-0957. And if you're a member or a member of our organization that has an educational activity, a plant sale, something that will appeal to the gardening public, let me know. And at the bottom of my website, thegardeningshow.com, there is a form there where you can email me. You can do that for questions, too, if you can't get through the lines. And give me the information about your show, because right now I know on May the 17th, we have a plant sale coming up on MSU campus. We have a plant sale where I'll be in Jackson County that morning. So lots of information coming up, lots of things going on, and I'd love to publicize it. But right now, I'd like to talk to you. 1-800-859-0957. Stay tuned. The Gardening Show will be right back.
Now, back to The Gardening Show with Dean Krauskopf.
And we're celebrating a life of a very remarkable person who was one of my colleagues. I count her as, luckily, I was a she was one of my mentors. Any of you who are master gardeners of any length of time have met Vera or benefited from what she did, because she was the driving force between much of the master gardener programs in Southeast Michigan, especially where it started many years ago. And then it spread across the state. She certainly also was a founding member of the Master Gardener Association of Wayne County, which is the model for other Master Gardeners Associations across the state, Metro Detroit Landscape Association, and it goes on and on. So if you were lucky enough to know Vera, as I was, let's share some memories. But if you weren't, give me a call anyway. Let's talk gardening. 1-800-859-0957. Or on thegardeningshow.com. And I've got a couple of lines open, which is unusual, so time to dial in. However, if you don't get the opportunity, or a question comes up in the middle of the week where I'm not available, thegardeningshow.com, down at the bottom of the website, you will find a form, and you can email me. I can't respond to your emails directly. I'm sorry about that. There's just too many of them. But I will try to get them on the air, the answers to your questions on the air, just as soon as I possibly can. 1-800-859-0957. Let's go to Doug in Westland. Doug, welcome to The Gardening Show.
Hello, Dean. I've been a fan of yours for many, many years.
Thank you, sir.
I have a little leaf linden tree, a very good sized tree. Maybe it's 30 feet tall, but I noticed last year one branch died off in the fall. And looking at it this spring, I see two or three fairly major branches with looks like a gray white scale, spotty scale on the bark.
Oh, okay. Couple possibilities. Is the tree otherwise healthy and it's just got a few branches dying back, or has it been kind of slowing in growth over the few years?
No, only one branch that I saw died off last fall.
Right.
Lost its leaves. Only one that was affected, but I was out looking at it earlier, and I see this white scale on those branches, on the branch of that particular one, and a couple others.
Okay. Sometimes when the branch dies back and you see these, it's like a mushroom, a fungus, it may be an indication that the tree is under attack, and that's possible. It's not likely, but it's possible. The other flip side of that is that once a branch dies back, there are many opportunistic fungi that just start breaking down the wood. So And I don't know. You know, without looking at it or doing some tests and things like that, there's no way I can tell, and I wouldn't even hazard Doug to do it on the air. Here's what I would suggest. Are these branches have they died back all the way to the trunk, or are they in the process of getting closer to the trunk?
No, just lost foliage last fall.
Okay. As the tree leafs out this year, let's see where that point is. Typically what happens is that you'll see the branch, the tip, and then it just keeps working back. You know, you see the leaves drop and it changes color like that. Mm-hmm. Once you know where that zone is, the dieback zone, call the Michigan State University Diagnostic Lab and ask them what kind of sample they want. Because what are these branches relatively easy to get at? Can you get to them?
Samples of it, yes.
They're going to want to diagnose these kind of problems is right the interface between where the branch looks normal and where it's died back. That's where, if there's a fungus activity, that's where it's going to be. And that's where, if you can get to them without getting a bucket truck, that's be the sample they're probably going to want to take. The other thing is, now, up to this point, the diagnosticians at MSU will look at, if you take some good photographs, and wait till the leaves start to come out, because it's just too early to tell now. And they'll offer an opinion if you send them some photographs. So, and there's no charge for that. Submitting a sample, of course, there has to be a charge. But that would get you a quick initial read to say, this is probably nothing to worry about, or let's wait and see and then pull a sample.
Very good.
Now, there is one other thing, Doug, that you could do that would be very useful information. If you go around to the lower branches of the tree, and you know where this year's bud is, and you can go back to see where last year's bud terminal was.
Okay.
And you just measure that all the way around the tree, you know, four or five times, and see if there is a pattern. In other words, one side has not grown as much or something like that. On, you know, a little leaf linden, I would expect 3 to 4 inches of new growth every year would be a rule of thumb. And if it's in that range, probably the tree's pretty healthy. It's not been stressed. If you see less than that, especially if you go back several years, that is an indication there's more going on here than just perhaps a disease. It may be environmental or some other issue that we're going to have to face.
Okay.
That would be good information to get.
Okay. I've got another one, little leaf linden, about 75 feet away from the other one, and it's just vibrantly healthy. So it's not affected that.
Well, I hope so. It doesn't spread there.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, unless we're talking about oaks and where we get oak wilt and things like this that really travel through the roots, many times a tree side by side, one will be affected, one won't, and it's really hard to figure out what's going on, but that's just the way it is. So good luck with those.
Thanks for that. That address again is Michigan State Diagnostic Center.
Diagnostic Lab. You can Google it, or if you get into the gardeningshow.com, click into my, there's a button on there that says references. It's in there too. So
that's very good. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Great. Good luck. 1-800-859-0957. Let's go to Loretta in Hamburg. Loretta, welcome to the Gardening Show.
Hi, Dean. I just caught you talking about trees. My first question would be, I'm getting erosion in my garden all the way around my house because I'm between an easement and a road.
Oh, okay.
So as not this year, but 2 winters ago when we had the spring thaw, I had a mudslide from my front lawn into the well pit. So it's pushed the cinder blocks that I use for a retainer wall. I want to know, what can I use to build that back up? Should I, you know, put layers and layers of dirt? My problem with that is it'll get washed away with the next thunderstorm.
Right.
What do you recommend?
You got two problems, and one of those problems is, I think you need to talk to Glenn Hagee. And that is the physical barrier building that retaining wall, because there are some real techniques on that will hold that in place and make it more resistant to the sliding.
Oh, okay.
Now, but the other side of that is to hold the surface of the soil itself.
Yeah.
Now, you say that you're getting erosion. Is this a grassy area? It's part of your lawn, or what's the vegetation like?
Well, the grass doesn't basically take the weeds do.
Okay.
But that does, nothing holds the dirt because it all gets washed.
How steep a slope are we dealing with here, Loretta?
Roughly. Well, it's receded maybe like half a foot to a foot. Well, it might even be 2 feet.
Well, let me ask the question a different way.
Okay.
How much difference is it in height from your foundation of your house to where the retaining wall was?
Well, I'm like 20 feet away.
Yeah. And how much higher? How many steps do you have to go up and
down? It's gone down about that 1 to 2 feet. It's
okay.
Lower than
right.
It should be.
A couple of things that can be done. And do you mow this a lot? Or
my neighbors did, and they have since moved.
All right, so
nobody's
mowing it. Okay, that's not a bad thing. Because what I would suggest you do is someone, it sounds like, may have to come in. And what you need to do is cover that soil with something that's got a fairly deep root system.
What?
And if you wanted to go grass, that is a turf-type tall fescue grass. It's got a root system that goes down about 5 inches.
Ooh.
And once that gets established, it's very, very difficult, if not impossible, to get that kind of erosion. But before you go into that, sounds like you're pretty much bare ground right now.
It's got sporadic broadleaf or whatever those weed things are. I planted grass seed years and years, maybe 5 years, and
okay.
It's not taken.
Stay with me a second. We're going to have to break for a few minutes.
Let's
talk about this, because you're not the only one that's having this problem, especially this year with the heavy rains and everything we're having. But stay tuned. The Gardening Show will be right back.
Now, back to the Gardening Show with Dean Krauskopf.
And I'm speaking with Loretta in Hamburg, but if you have a question, 1-800-859-0957.
Hi.
Hey, Loretta, let's go back. You're dealing with an issue that is fairly common, and it's a lot of people are having to fight this, especially when we have heavy rains, and that's soil erosion.
Right.
And you've got an issue where you also have, it sounds like, a retaining wall may have been not, needs
well,
to be repaired.
Yeah, well, the retaining wall was basically just cinder blocks lined up in a row. The other thing is I'm on a hill, so my hill is getting lowered, and I'm getting cracks in my wall that's above the crawl space.
Okay. You need to, again, when you deal with those kind of structural things, that's Glenn Hagee, because that's his area of expertise and everything. But let's talk a little bit about what you can do to prevent the erosion.
Okay.
Now, in what I suggest to doing is that we're going to talk about just putting in very cheap grass seeds, the annual rye type grass seed, and just to hold that slope because it sounds like you're going to have to get some work done. And some people are going to be coming in and out, and there's no use going with an expensive grass seed because they may be having to dig it out and put things back in.
Uh-huh.
So I would suggest, if you can find someone to do it for you, is to come in with, it's just the annual ryegrass.
Okay.
It's the cheap grass seed that you can find almost anywhere.
Okay.
And just put it in at a very heavy rate in those areas. Just seed it in, get it to grow. It germinates very quickly. Within a week or so, it'll start to show up. And then that will hold the soil, and it'll stop the erosion.
Okay.
And that gives you time then to see if someone can come out and take a look at the other issues. Because if you've got cracks in your foundation and other things like this, that's... Erosion's one thing. The structural damage to your house is a totally different thing. And that needs to be really addressed as soon as you can get somebody out there to take a look at it.
Right.
Now, you're at Hamburg, right?
Yes.
Okay, I know where it is.
I wanted to ask you, how do I build up the dirt in that area before I put the grass seed?
If you think that you're going to have people in there to work on that wall in your foundation in that area, I'd say don't even do anything yet. Just get the grass seed in there to hold this. Because if they've got to come in and perhaps do some trenching, concrete truck come in, something like that, they're going to be really, there's going to be damage to the grass. So why don't we wait a little bit? Just put in any soil if there's a real rut or a real area that's really rapidly eroding.
Yeah.
Try to get a little soil in there just to block it. Put some big stones or something, or you can use, if you go to a hardware store, they've got a mat that they can put down in there. It just slow that down. And then just get the grass seed in all the other areas. And then really, probably in the fall, in August or so, we'll talk about putting once the corrections to the all the work that may have to be done is finished, then we can go in with the more extensive grass seed. Or, again, if you don't feel like mowing it, there are all kinds of vines, other perennial plants that will hold that bank very, very well, and you don't have to mow them.
Okay, I need those also beyond the area that's in the front of the house where I am still on a hill. My hill is going down, which I'm concerned about.
I would be very concerned about that. And that's why, have you talked to anybody about that?
The people at church. So I'm trying to get ideas and referrals, you know, from people that do that kind of thing.
Right. I would give, if you're familiar with Glenn Hagee's show, he knows a lot of people, and he may be a good resource for you, and he can also probably give you a better idea of the kind of things that may need to be done. But in the short term, I think this idea of just using a very cheap grass seed, filling in the holes a little bit, just enough to keep them from eroding further, and then putting the grass seed in there to hold that bank this spring and summer, is probably the best way to go, and it's the cheapest thing that I can think of to do. And you don't have to mow it. You know, it's going to get tall, it's going to get a little floppy, but who cares? It won't look bad, and it will do the job of holding the soil.
Okay. And do you have a number for the Glenn Hagee?
They just listen to your station right now. They're going to check with the station. Are you with JR? WJR?
I believe so.
Okay, 760. Now, next, tomorrow on Sunday, they're going to be doing a, well, it's off for Easter. So it'll be a week from today, from 12 to 2.
Okay.
And just turn on to that's your station, and they give the number constantly, and you can call in anytime you want.
Oh, awesome. Well, I thank you so much, because I'm thinking if I just put down any kind of grass, that's going to get washed off the next storm also.
Well, you're going to this ryegrass, if you put it on within a week, it'll be up and going. So hopefully we won't get that much rain, and so it'll start holding. Now, Hamburg, tell me which county that is.
It's Livingston, between Brighton and Ann Arbor.
All right. I would suggest on Monday, call in to the Livingston County MSU Extension Office.
Okay.
And ask them, tell them that they know me over there. Recommend somebody, ask them to put them in contact with their horticultural person. And they've got a very active master gardener group over there. Now, I can't make any commitments for anyone, but I would ask that perhaps one of their master gardeners might be interested in helping you make these decisions or helping you decide all this possibility in the grass area, not any of the construction, anything. But I'd give them a call and just suggest that tell them that I suggested they contact somebody over there and see if they can be of assistance too. Okay?
Okay, that sounds good. And how are you spelling your last name?
Just call them Dean from WJR. They know who I am.
Okay.
Thank you, ma'am.
Oh, bless your heart, and you have a good Easter.
Good luck with ma'am.
Thank you so much.
Those kind of issues are really not that uncommon, and it's not an easy fix, because first, certainly, of course, when you're dealing with those kind of conditions, as Glenn keeps saying, a lot of times you got to expect we're going to have construction damage, we're going to have to deal with that, and Glenn and I are going to be talking about that in an upcoming show, probably on his show and on mine. What do you do when you've got to get a concrete truck across your yard? How do you protect the damage? Or prevent the damage or lessen it as much as you can. We'll be talking about that. But right now, I'd like to talk to you, because there's lots going on out there. 1-800-859-0957 or thegardeningshow.com. And again, as I was mentioning earlier at the opening of the show, if you're a member of a group that's having a sale, educational programs of some type that would be interesting to gardeners across the state, or in the local area, makes no difference, let me know. You can email me in thegardeningshow.com down at the bottom of that page, and I will get those information on the air. I will contact you probably for more details, or if we have links to websites and what have you. And speaking of those kind of things, if you're in the market for some great plants, if you happen to be in the East Lansing area, the plant sale that benefits the MSU Hort Gardens themselves, and really they can't do it without that support, is going to be Saturday, May the 17th for the public sale. And we'll put this information on that from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. And I have been there, ladies and gentlemen. If you're not there by 7 in line, you don't get the good stuff. So May the 17th, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. If you're in the Jackson area, and I'll be there on this one because I'm going to be in the Jackson County Soil Conservation District booth talking to you. This is the annual native plant sale. This will be as a combination or sponsored by the Jackson County Conservation District and the Jackson County Men's Garden Club and Master Gardeners. And it's typically in Jackson County, if you're familiar with that, they've had individual sales. Everybody's going together at once. Saves time, gets a lot more great plants. This is also Saturday the 17th, and it's 8 a.m. till noon at the fairgrounds. And I'm looking at the list of native plants at the conservation booth. I may buy you out. This is a great list. So if you have anything like that going on, let me know. 1-800-859-0957. Let's go to Warren in Whitmore Lake. Warren, welcome to the Gardening Show.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm doing great. What's going on?
Detroit Edison came through my farm and killed a bunch of my trees and my rose bushes and all that kind of stuff. And I talked to somebody and they said I needed to get like a certified arborist or somebody that could come by and look at value.
Well, they can help you value it if you're thinking about making a claim, or they can also evaluate the, you know, what it needs to be done. If you need to some more, usually you're going to have to do some more work and pruning to shape everything up. If you look at
that's pretty much where I've been. That's what I've been doing, and I'm just having a hard time finding somebody that in my area that does that. So I listened to the radio and I heard that come on, so I thought I'd give him a holler and
I can give you a way to go, but I'm going to have to go to a break. Warren, can you stay with me? And Emmy in Wooster, Ohio, you're going to be next. So, Warren, if you can stay with me, we'll be right back. And this is a website. We'll talk about where you can contact certified arborists, but I need to hold for that. And if you'd like to join this conversation, doesn't have to be about trees or certified arborists. It can be anything in the garden. 1-800-859-0957. Also, check out thegardeningshow.com. I'm going to be putting all this information about the educational program at MSU and the fantastic speakers going on up there. And stay tuned. I'll be right back.
Now, back to The Gardening Show with Dean Krauskopf.
Welcome back. And before I go back to Warren and Whitmore Lake, I'd like to thank Rich Lisinski, of course, for working the boards this afternoon, and Shannon Maley, who is our producer. Again, as always, without those two people, this show does not go on. Thank you both. Let's go back to Warren and Whitmore Lake. And Emmy in Wooster, you're going to be up next. I apologize, Warren, for holding you there. But if you go to my website, thegardeningshow.com, if you work down, you'll find a sheet or a button that says references. Click onto that. And under the references, there is a line there that will say how to contact a certified arborist. And it's a website put on by the International Society of Arboriculture. And you put in your zip code, and they will bring up the arborist for you in your area. Now, have you talked to, was it DTE or was it consumers that came through?
It was Detroit Edison.
Have you contacted DTE about this?
Yeah, they won't. Yeah, they came out, looked at it. They won't call me back.
If they want a claim, they have kind of specific requirements. Did they tell you that you needed a certified arborist to do the evaluation?
Yes, they did.
Okay. The reason I say that is that certified arborist, to become certified, you have to pass the test and then maintain your credentials by continuing education. And it's a nationally recognized credential. And that's why a lot of people use it, or companies use it for this kind of work. There are good people out there that perhaps for a variety of very good reasons are not certified, and there's just as experts. So it depends on the process. So if they said certified, you need certified. Now,
yes,
to be very honest with you, Warren, as busy as these people are, it's going to be a while. So contact that list and click into there, find those people, contact all of them on the list, and talk to whoever can get back to you first. And I know they're backed up for that's significant because they're still dealing with the damage from December, a lot of these evaluations and things like that. So it's not going to be a quick process, I wouldn't expect. But these are good people. They're and their credentials are valid. I trust them and recommend them. So good luck.
All right. Thanks, sir.
Yep. Good luck with that, sir. 1-800-859-0957. Let's go to Emmy in Wooster, Ohio. Emmy, welcome to The Gardening Show.
Thank you. I was wondering if you can give me a little bit of information on planting and care of strawberries.
Sure.
I don't have a bed as of now, but I'm going to be getting some plants in.
Cool.
And I'm wondering what kind of dirt do I need to have for them and how to care, and do they winter over?
First of all, the last question first. Yes, they do if they're in the right spot. Now, tell me a little bit about where you're going to plant them.
Well, I don't know. I can plant them wherever I
Well,
don't
here's what they need, okay? Full sun, which is equivalent to at least 8 hours a day. An area that doesn't have a whole lot of tree roots and other competition that way. It also should be well-drained. In other words, an area where the water doesn't stand, or you don't have a problem with it staying wet long time. And usually, if you can get a south-facing slope, that's great. Doesn't have to be. That sounds like ideal strawberry site to me.
Okay.
Do you have that?
I do.
That's cool. Now, you can do it all kinds of ways. How many plants are you going to get, if I may be nosy?
To start with, it'll probably be maybe 8 or 10, but I did start some from seed this year, and they're just about the size of the end of a pinhead right now. Teeny, tiny, adorable little leaves.
Well, those are not going out in the yard this year. They're going out next year, okay? You're going to enjoy them over, you know, and baby them, and it's going to take a little while. Here's what I would do. How many are you thinking about putting in? Because one of the things, if you only want a few, I've got a bad back, and I put a lot of things in raised beds and containers.
Okay.
And I don't know if you've thought about that, but strawberries do beautifully in containers.
I hadn't, because most of the containers that I have had do not do well. I don't know if it's the soil that I've used or
there are lots of.
Well,
it depends on where you want to do it. What I would do is, if your soil is good, all those conditions we had, check with, you're right there at OARDC.
Yes.
And they have a lot of information up there. The local extension service at Ohio State has a great thing on strawberries, or you can just Google it. It's ohioline.osu.edu, I think. I may be dropping something out there. But check that out.
Say that again a little slower.
Ohio Line. And I think it's .osu.edu, but I don't swear to that. You can Google it. And they've got all the instructions on how to grow strawberries tailored for Ohio.
Super.
So, yeah, and it's really good. Or if you have some, do a little calling around up at OARDC. And if for people who don't know what OARDC is, it's the Ohio Agriculture Research and Development Center at Wooster. Fantastic facility, great people. Call around up there and see if somebody's working on strawberries and might be willing to, you can wander over and pick their brain for a little while. That's always fun anyway. I like to go to the OARDC's campus just to poke around and see what they're doing.
Yeah, I've seen the place. I've never stopped there. I haven't lived up here that long, so I'm just learning.
Well, that resource is unbelievable. It's just like having it's a branch of the Ohio State University campus right there in your backyard. It's wonderful. And it's the agricultural campuses, so it's really focused on some of the kind of questions that you probably have. But check Ohio Line, like I said, I think it's osu.edu. first, and they've got great information. They update it regularly, and I know I haven't looked at their strawberry bulletin for a little while, but I remember it was one of the best I'd seen in a while. So it'll give you all the great information that you need about your strawberries.
Would they have screening information there too?
Yes, they would. Or go again. If you, do you have internet access?
I have to go to the library right now.
Oh, okay. Well, if you get a chance, go down. Yeah, if the next time you're at the library, ask, you know, drop it down there. I don't know what they have at OARDC because it's not part of the Extension Service. The other thing is, if you have a you have an Extension Service office in your county, but I don't know if it's there at Worcester. I think it is, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
So they would probably have bulletins, or you could go there. They could print something off for you.
Very good. Thank you so much.
Enjoy OARDC. It's a fantastic place and great people.
Well,
thank
you got me excited about it.
It
is
Thanks
fun. A lot.
And for those of us who are crabapple fanatics, they have one of the best crabapple collections around. And if you're looking for new varieties or something, it's a good trip. Go down, take a look. The flowers down there bloom about 10 days, 2 weeks before ours do. It's a great time to say, hey, I love that one, or that one would fit beautifully. Let's go.
Crabapples, are they edible?
Some of them are. Some of them are. The larger ones, I don't think I'd eat them off the tree, but I've had some candied ones that were just absolutely beautiful. But most of them, the fruit is too small, or they've actually bred the fruit out. They don't fruit at all because it's messy and things like that. So it depends on the variety.
Thank you. I'm glad I found your station.
Well, stay tuned. You know, love to hear
Bye-bye.
That. Thank you. Let's Bye-bye. Go to Craig in Ohio. Craig, what part of Ohio are you at? Where are you?
I'm near Bowling Green, Ohio, down about 30 miles from Toledo.
Know where you're at. How can I help you today?
Well, I have a 3 acres, and I have a almost 1,000 feet of creek that runs my back property.
Right.
And I've been out here a long time, and I've never gotten anything that really looks good. The weeds grow up sometimes 5 foot tall. To weed whack it, you know, it's about, the pitch is different here and there, and some of it, about a third of it has rocks in it. So you, to weed whack it takes forever. I tried spraying just the lip of it to try and make it not look so bad where my grass meets it. But it's just full of weeds, and I was wondering if somehow I could plant some grass that didn't grow 5 foot tall or some kind of ground cover. Now, it will, the banks will, with a heavy rain a few times a year, come up and cover that.
Okay, there is information, but I'm going to refer you to the same group that I was talking to Emmy about, and that's Ohio State Extension, because they have some specific recommendations for Ohio. If you look at the information for Michigan, it's slightly different. So you need to contact Ohio State Extension down there in Bowling Green. And I'm sure there's a bulletin, and they probably got a specialist, somebody that works with that, in those kind of areas. And there are a surprisingly wide range of plant material that you can grow. So you've got some options, Craig. But get somebody that knows what they're doing. I'll be back. Have a great week.